All right. I thought I'd give you a little spiritual jump there with Dr. Lonnie Smith's He's a Mighty Good Leader. In this case, we're talking about Donald Trump, facetiously, of course. He's on Hammond, the good old organ of jazz champions. We have David Fathead Newman also appearing on this album on tenor sax, Doug Munro on guitar, and Lefray Sy on drums. This is from Lonnie Smith's 2003 CD, Boogaloo to Beck. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to be doing some interesting analysis today. With your permission and cooperation, we're going to talk about our recent experience. I'm referring specifically to the inability or the unwillingness to adjudge appropriately Donald Trump and his role in this matter of the insurrection in Washington, D.C. It was born in a crucible of engineered political chaos and confusion, and ended with wild celebration among supporters last Saturday, when the U.S. Senate closed its week-long impeachment trial of former President Donald J. Trump, voting 57-43 that he played no major role in precipitating a massive, violent attack by supporters on the Capitol that claimed 5 lives and inflicted a great deal of damage to buildings. Trump did not direct the violent reactions and actions of several groups widely viewed as supporters, the Senate verdict said. And Trump should not be held responsible for their conduct, albeit violent and murderous. Today, with the benefit of a fuller picture of Trump's alleged role in the major tragedy, I'm asking you whether they have, this is those who are in judgment, those who have taken a review of situations of last week and have re-evaluated them, whether Trump's alleged role in the Capitol insurrection and whether his trial was fair, resulting in a just outcome. Okay. I'm not presupposing anything as to what you might think or believe or what your position is. I just would like you to share with us what your reasoning is for the position that you hold, with the advantage of some time. Presumably, you had the opportunity to kind of re-examine things. And are they still in sync with the way you originally thought of it? Has your opinion changed? And what is it now as opposed to what it was then? What, in fact, have we all learned about Trump's impeachment trial? What have we learned about this thing, this much vaunted concept that we hear so much about called democracy? 888-874-4888 is the number you should call. And let's get started. I want you to really get into it in terms of taking care to let us know from your thinking what undergirds your thinking, what undergirds your belief and opinion now. It's not important whether you think people will agree or disagree with you. It is important that you are satisfied with the case that you're making because you've had time to reflect. And you are either more convinced or are you thinking differently? Whatever the case might be, it would be a great privilege to hear you talk it through with us listening at 888-874-4888. This, of course, is far from over. It will be reverberating with us for quite some time. And there are more pieces of the puzzle still unfolding, but it is a good enough time with, some space to give us an idea of what it is we really believe. All right. I don't know how to read this name. Is it B.G.? B.G. of Benji. New York?
Benji.
Oh, Benji.
Yeah, Benji. Yeah. How are you, Utrecht? Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I haven't called for a while because I haven't, I guess I don't know if I'm able to contribute much today, but to the program, I hope I can. I just want to tell you that you're very, you're ahead of the curve, because yesterday I read an op-ed by a guy named McConnell. It's not Mitch McConnell's relative, a lawyer. I forgot his first name, maybe Mike McConnell. He's a lawyer, and he wrote an article that Jakobsny's, he wrote an article that they blew it. The article of impeachment was not written correctly. What they should have done, I think you had given a program, and I know for sure you stated the second point, but I think both. This is how it should have been done. If they were serious about getting a conviction. Number one, they should have said that what the president did was that he intended to intimidate the lawmakers, the Senate, the senators, I guess both, the House and Senate. He intimidated them not to allow them to certify the election. And the second thing was he was derelict in his duty. The 6 hours, he did nothing. He did nothing. They were crying for help. We know for a fact. That two senators spoke. We know that McCarthy spoke to him, House Majority Leader McCarthy. McCarthy was screaming at him. Tuberville, Senator Tuberville was probably also screaming at him. His own people was telling him that they're looking to put Pence on that noose over there out in the mall, and he did nothing. So I don't know if this was your question. I missed your question. But
the question is, what with the little bit of time that has passed and that has allowed you to revisit the situation a bit, what is your thinking? Is it different from the way you initially thought, or is it?
No, I'm with you. My response is that the way they wrote, I knew that the way they gave them an out. Like, I met somebody in my neighborhood today. He says, you can't do an article of impeachment telling him that he incited, when in that same speech he said, go peacefully. It's shocking that these are 500, these are supposed to be the best legal minds, and you figured it out. Because I tell you, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, you're priceless. You're a treasure. So you're a treasure. I know you think I'm trying to always butter you up, but I think you're terrific.
No. I'm laughing because people who know me say, but she's crazy. So
No, I don't think you are. No, I don't think, no, my opinion, no. No. I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding.
I think you're terrific. So
I'm
pretty much reiterating. I'm reiterating your point from last week, and I guess you can move on, right? Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much for getting us started today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht.
Hello.
Okay, I had a lot of... Hi. phew. I had a long think and a long conversation this morning with a friend of mine that helped me get to my feelings about this, because I felt so defeated after watching this, and I really needed to think about it. First, I want to say I think that the three people on the Democrats that argued it, I think they argued it beautifully and brilliantly. I think that what was missing from their argument, which I was happy to see, was there was no emotion. And I knew when the opposing side came up that they had a really terrible argument, because when they started acting in a very defensive way and being loud and angry, I knew that they didn't have much to say, that they were just going to be fillers in earth. But how I felt after all this was over was angry at the Democrats.
Is there, Gwen?
There,
did we lose you?
Oh, shoot. Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, couldn't hear you.
Okay. Not my phone, because my phone's okay. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Anyway, I don't know how when you lost me, but I guess I from the point of view of where I felt like the Democrats failed me was when they decided not to put on witnesses. And I felt very upset. I felt like a woman who was being attacked, and you were supposed to protect me, and you said you would, and then you watched and made up a bunch of excuses for why you couldn't take this on. From the Republican point of view, I know it was predictable that they said they were all going to not vote to impeach or prosecute, but it was stunning to me because it was like watching an accident happen, right? And then you telling me that that accident didn't actually happen, like, because it wasn't partisan to me at all what happened. What I saw was something that was completely violent and an attack, and now you're telling me that that didn't actually happen. And what was even more stunning was that the few Republicans that did vote are now being censured. They're actually being censured for telling the truth and doing what they were supposed to do. And that's what all of them are supposed to do. They are supposed to be protecting the Constitution. And rather than protect the Constitution, they protected themselves, because they did not want to come back to their hometowns and not win the election. And it sort of feels like everything that goes on in America right now, to some degree. We don't handle things head on. I'm just comparing this to other things that happen that I think we don't pay attention to. And because we don't pay attention, it goes all the way up the food chain to our government itself. And I think that we gave Trump a brand new breath of life, and he said it is. And he said, this is just the beginning. And I think had we been able to hear the arguments, even if they were going to lose and they knew they were going to lose, I think that having the witnesses there would have made me feel like, you know what, you gave it 100% of everything you could. And even though you didn't win this particular battle, I admire and respect you, and I thank God that you did do the right thing, because there is something that is righteous about fighting this battle. And so we've decided to look the other way. We've decided to endorse lying, okay? And we've decided to punish people that lie about it. And the thing that's on the line here is our actual Constitution. This wasn't an insurrection. It was greater than that. This was a group of people under the influence of somebody that wanted to be a dictator that had an allegiance to him, and their allegiance was so powerful to him that they were willing to get rid of the Constitution of the United States. So it's so much more serious than I think people believe. And I think that we haven't quelled this. I think that no one should think this is going to go away on either side. And I think at least if we had the witnesses to see, but down the road, we would have had a lot of arguments. I'm telling you that on Saturday night when the story came out about Kevin McCarthy actually being on the phone while the vice president was being taken out of his office with Trump, he's on the phone telling him what's happening, and Trump decides to go ahead and throw gasoline on the fire and tell that, you know, his followers that, you know, Pence didn't go ahead and stop the vote. I mean, it's clear that Trump was there to incite, and he did. I think the other thing that many people don't realize is that Had Trump kept his word to his followers and gone to the Capitol with him, many of these followers would have been protected under his presidential powers. He would have been able to protect them from being arrested. But because they went by themselves and he separated and went back to watch it on TV, they don't even have that protection. So they will most likely be prosecuted, I hope. And they won't have anything, they won't have anywhere to hang their hat on, because as long as Trump wasn't with them, they had no protection. So I'm very, very hurt and disappointed by this. And I think that we're all guilty. I think that on the left, we're guilty of being cynical and really having we just don't have enough hope. And we all need hope to keep going forward. I can't imagine Martin Luther King starting out any speeches by saying, "Well, you know, they're all like that," because it wouldn't have gone anywhere. It's not the way you lead anything. It's not the way you go anywhere either.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, even now, with just the little window of time that we could look through, do you feel you understand what happened here?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes. But understand does not mean I in any way agree with it. I do not agree with it.
I understand
every
that.
Once in a while.
But I'm wondering whether you understand what
I understand.
Unfolded.
It's
you understand the
criminal.
Whole thing. Okay.
Hey, I understand how the mafia works too. I understand mafia mentality. But I expect much more than that from my government. I don't really care, you know, what people come back and say, it's always been like this. No, it hasn't. We've never gotten to this place. And it only gets worse from here. So it's up to us to try to turn this boat around, because I think it's due to a lack of things on both sides. And I also think that we need to remember this is not a partisan issue. And that's what Republicans and Democrats both forgot. This was not a partisan issue. This is like somebody went and threw a bomb at the building and you're not going to hold him responsible because of his party? I mean, give me a break. This man doesn't have a party. He has one party, and it's Donald Trump, and now he's starting his own political party. And Democrats and Republicans are both going to have to contend with this guy for as long as he's still breathing, because today he put his daughter-in-law, she's going to run against Representative Burr in North Carolina. So he's already got his strategy out there, and we gave him the biggest gift in the world by letting him get away with this. And I do believe it was more than an insurrection, more serious than that. And I don't think that the people that argued did the arguing on the side of the Democrats did a bad job. I think they did a really good job, as a matter of fact. I just wish they had had the confidence to continue to go and to bring all the witnesses in. I needed to see them fight all the way to the end.
Well, I think they argued the wrong case. I still don't think they realized they argued the wrong case. And I said that from the very beginning. How were they to prove their case? We didn't know what the theory of the case was. And it kept changing and changing. But they did not argue definitively a case against Donald Trump. They just kept talking about extraneous things that proved, yes, there was an insurrection. Okay, we got that. But they did not argue the case against Trump. And no matter how they tried to compel us to believe that they did, I don't think they could make the case that they actually argued a case. Not at all. Thanks for getting us started today.
Thank you.
Finish up your point. Finish your point.
I have to disagree with you on this, because I watched the whole thing, and I completely felt that the case was made. It was crystal clear.
What was the case? Since you say that.
Well,
what
somebody
are you referring to as the case?
Well, the case being, from my point of view, is that Trump incited these people to go to the Capitol, break in, and try to stop the count of the vote for the Electoral College, and while doing that, incited a riot. And then they had a malicious intent because they brought weapons with them, they brought nooses with them. I think all of this was brought out. And then I think to say that Trump really didn't mean this or know anything about it was made clear that he absolutely knew about it because he was absolutely getting telephone calls.
That was not the case. That's exactly my point. What you just laid out and what the Democratic Party just decided that they would lay out was not the case. They were arguing about the differences of opinion as to what happened. That's not the case.
Well, I don't think they were arguing. I don't think that was it. I think that they were showing, they were citing examples for why this was the case. This is one example.
But
this
we're not interested
this
at this point when you are a trial. You're not there to cite examples. You're there to try a case.
Yeah, but these are called.
So get on with trying the case.
I mean,
what is the case?
Well, the case to me, and maybe I was listening to something different, was very clear. I mean, I saw Donald Trump incite this mob to go and attack the Capitol.
But that should not that have been the case? No. This was a case of the head of state.
Right, the president.
The president of the United States abrogating his presidential duties. And nothing to do with any of this other stuff. And people were over here and you're showing all this footage. And yeah, we know that happened. We know the people were excited.
You don't think they were? You don't think that they were? That those were examples of him abrogating his duty? I mean, he's directing people to go and
No. It was good theater, and they caught it on film. Great. But that's not the case, is it? Did this president utterly fail as the commander-in-chief of the United States and president of the United States? That's the case. Nobody bothered to argue the point. They told us, look what was happening over here, and here are people breaking windows over there, and here are people running down the hallway trying to find Nancy Pelosi. That's not the case.
Okay, but you can't say that somebody, these are examples of how he utterly failed. And I would need to hear
You do not go to court.
I couldn't just have you come and tell me he failed and then you not tell me why he failed.
You don't go to court. You don't go to court at that level.
Oh my God, you do too. This was so serious. Did you not think this was something serious? What happened?
Of course. But do you not see that they did everything to avoid the point that they should have been making? Did I not say this? Dereliction of duty. That's a definitive point. I'm not interested in whether Donald Trump behaved badly and he encouraged other people to behave badly. That's not the case.
Yes,
the case was whether this man
I said behaving badly is dereliction. That's dereliction of his duty. He did behave badly.
No. You can't, after the case is over, you can't redefine it as such.
I'm not.
You
have I'm telling
to
you
be
that
from
for
the
me,
word go. But mm-hmm. listen for a minute. You have to lay out the case. These people were busy having a discussion among themselves on what they considered the fine points, but that was not the case. It was not the case at all. Wasting all of that time debating points that were not really central to the case.
But you know what, Eutrice? I don't agree with you. I think that
okay,
it was important for Americans. If they had come in and just said, here's my cut and dry case, and I will cite no examples of anything that happened that day, I'm just going to say I would have felt very upset about that, because to me,
but you have to understand what is the purpose of going to court. It's not about what you think ought to happen.
Yes, but there's more to going to court.
Reason you're going to court. There's a specific charge you ought to make. From the word go, you don't go all over the place and hope that, well,
I didn't see them all over the place.
Probably one would hit. No, they were incompetent, and I'm saying it out loud, they were incompetent, never mind all the theatrics and the film and footage that had nothing to do with the central theory of a case. They did not have a theory. They did not present it and stick to it and prove it. They were there talking about this and hoping that people would be mesmerized. I know one person who was, and that was Donald Trump. He was thrilled to watch what was going on. No, that's not the reason you are in the highest court of public opinion. That's not the reason that you are in the Senate facing a trial. That's not the reason you're there. You're there to argue a case. And you're going to tell me that what we should be concerned about was that you proved that thousands of people gathered and were misbehaving so terribly and were inflicting all this damage and causing terror. No, that's not the case. It is not the case. I don't care what they say. There was no case defined as to why these people were in court and aiming at Trump and doing a poor job of it, because there should have been no question about their intention. And it was not, I hope it wasn't, they thought that by presenting film footage that would be the case. It is not. We, at this moment, even now, we have no idea what their case was. And they have all these degrees, and they're senators, and they're this, and they're officers of the court, and no case. Plain and simple. It's not about how people feel. It's about points of law. Did they prove that Donald Trump broke the law? No. They didn't even tell us what the law was that he allegedly broke. They wasted time. They wasted money. They wasted resources. And most of all, they wasted a great opportunity here. They blew it. You don't go to court to impress people. You go to court to prove a case. What is your case? You have no damn case. Why are you here annoying the rest of us? That's the it remains the bottom line. You have
I
no
didn't
case.
See it that way.
You have no guidance. You're just a missile, a self-guided missile, but with no aim. You're firing off this and you're firing off that. And this is the point for the next 10 minutes, and in another hour, it's a new point. What is this? The amateur hour. If I were in a court of law, I expect to see some lawyering going on there. These people are playing games. And they have the entire country believing that what they saw was lawyering. No way. That fell far short. I wouldn't expect such craziness in traffic court. For people who are supposed to be prepared and know the law and know the conduct of a trial, and know what they're supposed to have prepared before them, They did a lousy job. Lousy. They can't defend themselves against that. And they were the ones who opened the door so that Donald Trump could walk right out. The case became, well, who has better film footage, or who has this and who has that? Nobody discussed the law. I was waiting, well, maybe they'll get around to it. But they never did. Thanks. You made some great points, and I agree with many of them, but I think we have a ways to go still on this trial, the so-called trial, which was a sham.
Well, I'm sure it's not over, so hang on.
No, it's over. It's over.
That I think
Trump
agree
has
with.
Been acquitted.
No, the fallout's not over.
It is over. He cannot be re-indicted on the same charge.
No, not that. No, I think there's people that are not satisfied on both sides, and I don't mean in court. I'm talking about you're going to see it.
Dissatisfied does not matter. The time for you to be dissatisfied is when you're in the court and making your arguments. You blew it. You have to live with that. There's no do-over. it's done.
There is no do-over, but there will be ramifications. In the streets. That's what I'm talking about.
Ramifications, shramifications. The fact is, Trump got away.
And
they facilitated it. They facilitated it because they're so incompetent as lawyers. Totally incompetent lawyers. I mean, you have a case this important and you can't even establish your point. And undergird it with evidence and get on with the business of trying a president of the United States. You had that opportunity and you blow it. Oh, please. No forgiveness. None. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air. Ed, are you there?
Good afternoon, Latrice. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you doing?
Well, you know, me and my sons, we're here.
And your thumbs are hanging in now.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, it was a travesty. I had my suppositions that it was going to be a travesty from the beginning. I mean, historically, you can look at presidents that have committed crimes. And, you know, I mean, they're allowed to get away with it. You can go back to Iran-Contra. You can go back to even Bill Clinton and define is. We can go back to, I mean, it's par for the course of this government not to punish the leader that they prop up. That being said, I mean, what do you expect? This is the price you pay when you're not vigilant with your government. This is the price you pay. You get idiots and boobs who are running the country and caught up in their own cult of personality. It didn't surprise me. I mean, it was a dromedary. It was a show. It was the turmoil of the moment and how these people trusted here. And we got this. And when we have this video of these people going in the White House and doing this and defecating and all this other stuff. But the fundamental fact was the president makes an oath. When I was a soldier, I made an oath when I get accepted in the service. And that oath is to protect country, to protect to uphold the Constitution and to protect the country from foreign invaders. If you violate the oath, that's a clear charge. You violated the oath. You were derelict in your duty. You swore an oath on the Bible in front of this country, and you violated it. And that's all that mattered. And that's the point that was never pressed. And that's why he was allowed to walk away. But I believe he was going to be allowed to walk away. Because he served his purpose. You know, this 2 weeks of this garbage here, and we still don't have any resolution on the Corona package, care package. We still don't have any resolution on the fact that this month over a million Americans are going to, mortgage is going to come up, and they're going to be homeless. We still don't have we still don't even, as far as the vaccine is concerned, I still believe we don't have enough research into that. I don't believe we have enough preventative care being put out there. There were many things that we could have done something with aside from this show. And there you have it.
But let's talk strictly about lawyering, or what you would consider good lawyering. Do you think we saw it in this trial?
There was no lawyering in this trial. This is a sensationalism. This was an event. When you're involved in law, I've been involved in the criminal justice system. I've had my ups and downs with it. You have a law. You present, okay, this is the law, A, B, C. You violated this law. How did you violate this law? You made an oath. This is what the oath contained. This is what the oath stated: to defend the country from foreign invaders, to uphold the Constitution. This is what took place, and this is what you didn't do. You weren't proactive. You didn't intercede. You didn't use your role as commander in chief and the law, the enforcement branch of the government, the executive branch of the government, to stop this on any level. You were derelict. You left your office. You were vacant. And that was easily improvable. But they had impeachable articles on him before they didn't use. So
I never thought
they wanted to be. Trial. Yeah, but I mean, when they had the opportunity to get this guy, they didn't. So what makes you think they're going to get him now? Especially when he's not even in office anymore. They were making excuses before this fiasco even started. They were making excuses.
So where does that leave the people? You know, what can be done, if anything, about this post facto?
Well, I've always said we've got to rise up, and we've got to put aside all of the petty differences and prejudices and inconsistencies that we have, and we've got to get a consensus to where we get a group of people together and start to work on politics and start to work on taking control of this system and changing it for our betterment. And it's a hard road to hoe because the system is completely corrupt. This is a failed state. And the work has to be done, organizing, the political work has to be done. And it's a long road to hoe, but it's got to be done, or else, you know, states fall. This state could be on the verge of the end of America. It's quite possible.
Do you feel you just exaggerated there? Was that an exaggeration?
Nope. Not okay. I mean, we've got some dire concerns here in this country. We've got some dire concerns. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We've got record amounts of homelessness. We've got record crisis. We've got a climate crisis brewing. And we've got a government that doesn't have any concern for its populace. And there are foreign enemies. I mean, not as far as direct threats. China, the Asian tiger. China will be the leading economy in the year 2025. And Xi Jinping and the One Belt, One Road, that will knock America out of the box. Okay? And once America... All America has is a big stick, and nobody's afraid of the stick anymore. Nobody's going to use a nuke. Nobody's going to start a nuclear war. There's too much invested in this planet to do that. So if America doesn't have a stick, then it's got nothing.
Well, thank you for your contribution today. Thank you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. Hello, E, you're on the air. All right, we move on. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Lead. You know, it's important, I think, to see these events in their proper context. The people who run things, the people who have been in power for a few centuries now, see things in terms of very long periods, The average corporation thinks in terms of 50 to 75 to 100 years, and they make their plans according to that structure. And it's the same with all people in power. So there's been a project underway in the United States because we were basically a pretty rowdy population to begin with, sort of a restless population in ways negative and positive. And the first president to get rich in the United States
want you to go directly to the question.
Okay, well, the directly to the question is the meaning of this event has to be taken in a larger context to be understood. You see, what made the Iraq War possible was what the groundwork that the Clinton administration laid down for it.
Yes, but you're still off point.
Please, Ms. Leed, all I'm doing is providing a context for what I'm about to say.
You're spending a lot of valuable time giving us context, and I don't disagree that context is important, not at all. But we're trying to get an answer relating to a very simple, straightforward question. Is what we witnessed or what has happened here, that justice?
I'd have been elaborating it 30 seconds ago. The way to understand this is the point of what happened is to demonstrate to the future of the American population through the news cycle that the government is incapable of reining in any rich person who is an open criminal. That's the lesson here. And to think that the Democratic wing of the Capitalist Party is so dramatically different from the Republican wing that they're in some kind of desperate internecine warfare with each other is just false. It's the overall goal over a longer period of time. And to me, the obvious program is to demonstrate that the workings of government for the benefit of anyone but the rich must be rendered dysfunctional. And this is another example of it. So, I mean, Russiagate on and on, just under the Trump administration, everything the Democrats have undertaken has been a laughable failure. Now, either you have to believe that the Democrats are so inept that they can't do simple things when they have 90% of the population behind them, or they're so corrupt that they're carrying out a larger plan for their owners, the people who own them, the rich of the United States. Now, this has been the case since Grover Cleveland, openly. This is since the 1880s. And for us to the news cycle's purpose, and I know of no exceptions in media in the United States to this, is to get people to focus on events day to day, isolated events, so that you don't understand them in a larger context at all, to see that there are goals farther down the line that large political events are designed to get you accustomed to.
Okay, I understand the point that you're making, but I am pleading, can we get home on this as quickly as possible?
Well, that's it. The individual event is meaningless.
What was this?
Justice? This event, as an isolated event, is meaningless. It's just another Democratic failure. When you string the Democratic failures together and begin to look at them. What's the reason for it? Then you have to think in different terms. You can't think in terms of just the news cycle. Oh, my God, what'll happen tomorrow? That's what I'm trying to get at.
You got at it. And what I am trying to get answered is, was that trial on point? Was it justice? Did they adhere to any concept of a theory of a case? What did they exactly prove?
That hasn't happened. I can't recall really any cases of it in U.S. history. The whole concept of justice is a propaganda term. It's a completely relative thing.
But
the idea that the rich are going to prosecute the rich is impossible in the United States.
I understand all of this, but I'm saying let's try as much as we can to be specific in addressing the question. Was this a competently done trial?
Of course not. I mean, if the actual intention were to prosecute Trump, yeah, of course, it's inept. I don't think that was the purpose, though. But obviously, yeah, a bunch of 10-year-olds could have done better.
That does not speak well. It's perfectly obvious.
The Democrats are obviously so inept at doing simple things, I wouldn't trust them to organize a sack race, much less prosecute one of the rich in the United States. They're all completely financially enthralled to the rich of the United States. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the rich.
Thanks for your contribution today.
The upper class is just insane to think so. It's childish.
All right. Thank you very much. Eve, you're back. You're on the air.
Patrice, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm here. Well, two times I got hung up on, so I don't know what happened. Something's wrong somewhere. Anyway, I'm on. I was starting to think maybe I shouldn't say what I had to say because I'm not getting on. So to have a few minutes left, I'll try to, I always say we have to wait to see how something ends up, and then you can see clearer a picture of how you can explain things. Like you've been saying now since the show started that they missed a golden opportunity to do this, So that shows you that they're not dumb. They're doing this is happening on purpose. That Donald Trump takes the blame for everything. See, he announced this demonstration 2 weeks ahead of time, 2 weeks before the 6th of January. Everybody knew about he was holding a rally on that day that they were going to count the electoral votes in the Capitol. So 2 weeks you had to prepare the situation, a controlled situation. Like when you have an avalanche, to avoid an avalanche, you got troopers up there and they make the snow come down as a controlled avalanche or a controlled demolition or a controlled fire line. These things happen in life so they can avoid a real situation where a tragedy could happen. So you alleviate that by doing something else controlled. So this was a controlled riot that appeared to be a real riot. The people that came to make trouble were under the assumption that they were being allowed to do this because they were so great. But in actuality, they were all tricked into coming so they could get their pictures taken, and now they know how many insurgent groups there are that want to do harm to the government. Now, why didn't the Democrats, if I knew the thing was being called 2 weeks ahead of time, why didn't they just move the venue from the Capitol to like a corporate hotel, and they could have counted the votes just as easy there, and they could have had a nice view of the Capitol up on a top floor of this hotel, and they could have watched the people all thinking they're inside there, but they're really safe. And then the Capitol Police wouldn't have to be worried about protecting these people.
After a while, no, there's a very important point to be made here. Nobody in power should act as if they're terrified by the people and their implied threats. Nobody should do that. Nobody should have the power to intimidate government and cause them to do this or cause them to do that. They should be able to do and discharge their duties accordingly. So I don't buy into, well, you know, it looks like trouble. So it looks like trouble. That's why you have the National Guard. That's why you have police. That's why you have security. That's why you have those things. But as we saw on that day, they weren't allowed to do their jobs. They weren't given the authority to do their jobs.
Well, you're missing the point, Yatrice, because if they could do a week later, after what happened on the 6th, then a week later, they armed the Capitol with all kinds of National Guards and all kinds of military people. They did it for nothing when there was no problem going to be happening because it was all controlled then. They
sure
could have done that a week earlier. They could have made sure the same military presence was there, and then the people wouldn't have been doing what they did.
That's my point. My point is, it wasn't like this raucous riot was not expected. It wasn't like it just happened spontaneously. Nobody prepared for it the way they should have. That's it. That's a failure. That's an utter failure.
Well, I'm
seeing
it.
And that's how we want to see it.
This is a complete setup. It was a controlled situation. So they could do their stupid acting job. Little Sandy Cortez is in the bathroom hiding.
Yes, but you're missing the point.
I'm not
looking for a review. It is useless now to engage in a review. I'm asking, you have had time to do that yourself. What have you come up with as an analysis for what happened? And please be brief because we're out of time.
Yeah, the analysis is that they succeeded in everything they tried to do. Everything they wanted to happen happened, and it was all perfect for the system. And they've divided people up, including good people like us together here. We should all be on the same page. You're listening to the stories that 2, 4, and 7 are telling us that we know are made up stories because in history, they've been lying to us all along the press.
Yes, but we can't say that because we have no proof. You don't want
to have another scenario because the one that Channel 2, 4, and 7 is giving you is the one that you want because you've been saying since the start that there's something seriously wrong with Donald Trump. And you're not the only one, Yatrice, because if you were born in New York and you grew up for the last 50 years, you know about the Trump family, you know about the racism, you brought it up many times. So they already know that there's a base of people that hate Donald Trump. And that's the 13 million people from New York is a lot of people. Now
yes,
you have
but
to create.
I, but wait a minute,
you
because
create,
we have to go. I don't
and now
hate
you have
Donald
to create
Trump. I'm just clear about Donald Trump. I don't hate him. I am very clear about him. That's a whole different thing. A whole different thing. I am very clear about what he is, who he is, what he represents, and what he is likely to do. And he hasn't disappointed. He has followed the script. I talked about this years and years ago. So I'm not surprised. I've been trying to tell people. This is a problem person, and here are the reasons why. Here's the proof. They still refuse to accept it. But we have come to the end of our program today. We can continue this tomorrow. In fact, we'll have to, because there are many people trying to get in on this conversation, and we will accommodate them tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening and contributing today. Let's get together again tomorrow. Bye-bye.